Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning. Currently in the upstate of South Carolina on this 7th day of June, 2005, it is 67 degrees, give or take a few degrees depending on where you're at. Going to get up to a high, it says, if we can believe what they say, of 86 degrees today. In the afternoon, should have those thunderstorms come back like we had yesterday. Really strong storms yesterday, weren't they? Well, at any rate, I don't know what your weather was like where you're at exactly, but my car thermometer said 95. And what did the weather say in the morning it was going to be? They said it was going to be 85. So I take it that if we're following suit, it says 86 degrees, you can expect it to be 96 degrees today. And if you like have an office like mine where the air conditioning doesn't work real well, you can expect to sweat a little bit. Might as well just go home early and try to cool off somewhere else and do your job. At any rate, that's the weather for the day, so be prepared as you go out for another really warm summer day here in the upstate of South Carolina. Well, we have an interesting letter I want to start off with from Corey Burnell, the president of Christian Exodus. He says, "Dear CE members and friends, what timing on the part of Dr. Chuck Baldwin, former vice presidential candidate of the Constitution Party, just 2 days after I criticized our pro-life leaders for not implementing a practical strategy for ending Roe v. Wade's enforcement, Dr. Baldwin has exposed the duplicity and hypocrisy of the embarrassing silence from our leaders regarding the vulgarity of the First Lady's mouth at the White House Correspondents' Dinner." Well, we're surprised. We're not really surprised by this, are we, Corey? I mean, we know what state leaders are all about, don't we? And we're not surprised by the true heart and nature of these people. It's not they're not any different than anybody else. In fact, the Scripture teaches us in Daniel 4:17 that God puts into office the lowest or basest of men. And so why would we expect anything but the most base people to be running the country? This is just what the Scripture teaches will frequently happen. When's the last time you really saw a righteous man leading as a state ruler? I'm talking about government here, but as a state ruler, just doesn't happen. At any rate, are you disheartened at the vacancy of Christian men at the national level whose allegiance is solely to Jesus Christ? I am mortified. Well, you say vacancy. It sounds, again, Corey, I just caution you here, bud. Remember this. This doesn't happen. I mean, when is the last time you remember any truly Christian man at the national level whose allegiance is solely to Jesus Christ? Can you name me one? I think you're going to have a tough time there. And maybe you'll be able to write in after listening to the show and give me a couple of examples. And with details, please, of why you're proving or the evidence to prove the case. "I'm mortified," says Corey, "by this reality, as we all are, and doubly committed to Christian Exodus's success. Do not be discouraged, but rather remember the example of Gideon's army. The Lord chose only 300 godly men to accomplish his purpose." Well, we have more than 300 godly men and women committed to move to South Carolina with ChristianExodus.org. Let's go there together and stand with each other for righteousness. We can accomplish great things for Jesus Christ with a concentrated effort in specific counties. Pastor Baldwin's column follows, and we'll read just a little bit of this. "Could Teresa Hines, Carrie, get away with this?" by Chuck Baldwin, June 7, 2005. "It is extremely difficult for me to understand the double standard of today's conservative Christian pastors and televangelists. Their willingness to overlook and even condone the improper conduct of President Bush, or in this case, First Lady Laura Bush, is appalling. Preachers are called to be prophets of God, not political lackeys. However, it is painfully obvious that political lackeys are exactly what most of them have become. A classic case in point is the incredible indifference of conservative Christian ministers regarding the vulgar and profane words recently uttered by Laura Bush. Without a doubt, if Teresa Hines Carey had said what Laura Bush said, the outcry among evangelicals would have been deafening. As it is, there has not been so much as a whimper of protest or rebuke. have to stop here now and say, I don't have a television, as many of you know, and because of that, I have no idea what Chuck Baldwin is talking about. I mean, I didn't see this on the radio or not on the news story this morning, unless I missed something, and maybe I just don't jump right over profanity, or as I should, from the First Lady. But if somebody wants to call in and give us a hint at actually what happened here, I would appreciate it, because I don't know what the... Well, maybe you don't... I don't actually want to hear on the air what she said, specifically, if it's really vulgar, but... if you have more insight and actually heard her say what she did, and I'd like to get your reaction to that, you can reach the studio this morning at 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. You can also try the other line, the backup line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Continuing on with Chuck Baldwin's article or column, the occasion was the annual White House Correspondents Association dinner at Washington, D.C. In a scripted interruption of the president's remark, Laura began by comparing herself to the sleazy characters of the television sitcom Desperate Housewives. She said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I am a desperate housewife. I mean, if those women on that show think they are desperate, they ought to be with George." Well, you know, she may be very right. I mean, why is this a problem? Okay, her remarks went only downhill from there. I mean, why do we expect that George W. Bush is his vicar of righteousness in the world, representing to us the truth? Oh, anyway, her remarks are tongue-in-cheek. She's trying to compare herself to sleazy people, and she may be a sleazy person, too. I mean, why are we surprised by this? Mrs. Bush continued by saying, "One night after George went to bed, Vice President Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney, Secretary of State Condi Rice, Bush advisor Karen Hughes, and I went to Chippendales, a strip club where women tuck cash into male dancers' skimpy thongs." Whatever. I wouldn't even mention it except Supreme Court Justices Ruth Ginsburg and Sandra Day O'Connor saw us there. I won't tell you what happened, but Lynn's Secretary Service Code name is now Dollar Bill. Now ask yourself, does anyone really believe that the spokesman for the religious right would sit back and say nothing if a Democrat's president's wife would say such things? Of course not. They would immediately lead a letter writing and fundraising campaign aimed at exposing the gaffe and calling for a public apology from the White House. This didn't happen. That this didn't happen reveals the extent of the religious right's marriage to the Republican Party in general and to the Bush administration in particular. But it gets worse. Mrs. Bush then referenced President Bush's lack of ranching skill by saying he learned a lot about ranching since that first year when he tried to milk the horse. What's worse, it was a male horse. Regarding these remarks, Michelle Malkin, a longtime Bush supporter, wrote in the New York Post, "Her off-color stripper and horse jokes crossed the line. Can you blame Howard Stern for feeling peeved and perplexed? And let's face it, if Teresa, I'm cheeky, Hines Carey, had delivered Mrs. Bush's first lady gone mildly wild routine, social conservative pundits would be up in arms over her and her bad taste and lack of dignity." Well, it goes even further than that, folks. I mean, obviously she's revealing something from the heart. And how do we know that? What does Jesus tell us in the scriptures? I don't have the chapter and verse in front of me, but I do have it memorized. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I believe it's Matthew chapter 7. Someone can call me and correct me with the correct verse there if they get a chance. If I can, I'll quick run over during a break and look it up. What do we see? What does the mouth speak? When she utters these words, what's really in her heart? Well, what's in her heart is the foulness of what comes out of the mouth. That's what Christ teaches us. She's not a pure woman. She's not a believing woman. Why does anybody have any, you know, why did anybody think any differently? I mean, certainly Chuck Baldwin from the Constitution Party realizes these people are imposters and fakes and phonies and just taking the Christian right for a ride. Perhaps the whole point is just to send this letter to other people who are Republicans still and say, look, your person really isn't as good as you thought they were. But let's go even further than that. Let's say ask some questions about statesmen in general. Are there truly godly statesmen out there who run states? Come on, folks. I want to hear an example of somebody really godly who was running a state. I mean, the best you're going to do usually is in history would be somebody like Thomas Jefferson, who cut out verses in the Bible and said that they weren't inspired, and did a few other things, had a few other foibles. And some people say he was a true believer, just he had some periods of sinning and other things, and that may well be the case. I'm not going to dispute that. I don't know enough about the mind of Jefferson to say that, but I have no reason to strongly believe he was a Christian. And if that's the best I can do, and the scripture tells me in Daniel 4:17 that God puts over states the basest of men, then why am I going to expect other than anything else? Well, I don't. Now, I'm not sure why you would, or anyone else for that matter, but apparently it's really got some people really surprised. Let me continue on here. Malkin continued saying, the first lady reported to horse masturbation jokes is not much better than Whoopi Goldberg trafficking a dumb puns on the Bush family name. It was wholly unnecessary. Many people are calling the president's wife remarks an aberration, but is it really? Remember that it's only about a month previous to Laura's male stripper and horse masturbation jokes that the first lady rose with the rest of the National Theater audience in standing ovation for Jefferson May's performance in the one-man play I Am My Own Wife, which tells a story of an East German transvestite, sourced the Washington Post 4705, or April 7th of 2005. Conservative Christians should also be aware that Laura Bush supports and has said so publicly the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, which legalized abortion on demand. In this regard, Laura joins her former first ladies, Hillary Clinton, Barbara Bush, and Nancy Reagan, in support of a woman's right to kill her unborn baby. Perhaps these glimpses into the Bush family's personal propensities help explain why their twin girls, Jenna and Barbara, when only in their teens, were already noted as being hardcore binge drinkers and party animals. On more than one occasion, President Bush has had to dispatch Secret Service agents to bail his girls out of trouble with local law enforcement officials for various alcohol infractions, including underage drinking and other types of misconduct. One or both of the girls have received fines, been sentenced to hours of community service, and had been told to attend alcohol awareness courses and had their driver's license suspended. And that's just what the press has divulged. To be sure, I sympathize with those parents, including George and Laura, who struggle with sinful, wayward children, but for God's grace, those could be my children. However, as our President and First Lady, Mr. and Mrs. Bush, have a duty to hold the high moral standard of our nation, they are... Now, this is nonsense, too. Wait a minute. Now, Chuck, you're expecting way too much out of a statesman. Again, you're going away from what the Bible teaches. You know, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about this in a bit more. This is a great piece to have a focal point, a discussion point about the nation here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Oh, and I feel like we're doing that this morning. In fact, we're going to get the Bible out right before we go back to Chuck Baldwin's commentary. And again, I wonder if how many Christians live under the delusion that state rulers are somehow, in some way, should be exemplary people or ever have been exemplary people. Now, I'm talking about government leaders here, people who come up out of the ashes of a revolution or something and set up a government like we did in America that was very limited with checks and balances, like a republic where you have a constitutionally limited government solely for the purpose of providing for the common defense. That's not what we're talking about. In that particular case, you've got great men like the Founding Fathers who were doing what they could for the purpose of, again, collective defense. But when you're talking about having a state, an aggressive, nefarious, pernicious, evil state that marauds around the world, destroying property, killing people, this is what states do, that pass proactive policy to change your behavior, to steal from one group and give to another, now we're talking about something entirely different. And most of the time, in the history of the world, we've dealt with states, not with government or constitutionally limited republics. And what does the Bible have to say? Well, here's a couple things. First of all, Daniel 4:17, a good verse to know, talking about Nebuchadnezzar and God dealing with him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Who rules in the kingdom of men, even with Hitler and Stalin and whoever else? God, the Most High. He gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowest of men. And the King James says, the basest of men. Who does God set over these states? The basest of men. Is George Bush one of the basest of men? Of course. That's what the Bible teaches us. Why should it be any different? What are we surprised about when it comes to this sort of thing? There are even reports, and I've had people at our California Dreaming meeting, which is 1:40 on Friday, come and say to me, you know, John, George W. Bush is involved with homosexual activity. He's actually a bisexual, and here's his pictures of his lover and all this kind of stuff. And they've got, I don't know if it comes from the Globe or, you know, whatever that stuff is, the National Enquirer, is that what it's called? The thing you see when you go through grocery stores that tell you that, you know, aliens have landed and whatever else. I don't know if it's that on that level of reporting or not. I'm just saying that there are people out there who are generally serious people who are believing that George Bush is a secret bisexual or homosexual. He may be. I don't know. I'm not going to say he is or isn't. If you have information on that, want to talk about it, I'd be happy to talk to you about it here on the show. And by the way, our phone number this morning, 864-849-0277. 864-849-0277 or 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Had a caller just try to get through and was not able to. Encourage you just to call back on one of the numbers and we'll get you on the air. But at any rate, what else does the Bible teach us about the heart of men? When we hear comments from Laura Bush or anybody else that are so off color or perverse and so forth, and shows where they like to go in the evening and all this kind of stuff, what are we going to say about that? What does it teach us about this woman's heart? Matthew 12:34 says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Think about it again. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the words of the Savior are. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So Laura Bush, what comes out of her mouth represents what, folks? It represents what's in her heart. That is part of the Christian worldview. We need to unshackle ourselves from a vision of state leaders or anyone else that would defy this scriptural teaching. Laura Bush is not a godly woman. George W. Bush is not a godly man. The way he raises his children is a pathetic example of manhood. In fact, it has nothing to do with manhood. It is simply a wildness and a wickedness that comes forth from a wicked lifestyle. There's no surprise to any of us here at Christian Worldview. We are not surprised whatsoever. At any rate, let me continue back on. Just finish up with this particular letter from Chuck Baldwin. I need to go back off my internet page here if I can real quickly. He says, however, as our first president and lady, Mr. and Mrs. Bush, have a duty to hold the high moral standard of our nation, that they are willing to publicly use vulgar and profane innuendos, even in jest, reveals a serious lack of character and discernment. The real point of this story, again, is not the misjudgments and misconduct of the Bush family, but the unwillingness of the religious right to hold this president to the same standards that they would hold Al Gore, John Kerry, or any Democrat president to. This is simply another glaring lesson on the dangers of Christians putting partisan politics above commitment to bedrock principle. Unfortunately, it's going on since President Bush was first elected in 2000, and there's no sign that it will stop anytime soon. Now, we are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have a caller on the line, and we'd like to tell you to hold on through the break. We're just, if you can just wait just a second, we'll get right to your call. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have on the line with us Nelson. And so glad, Nelson, that you had an opportunity to call this morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doctor. Yes. Interesting presentation so far. You know what? This time I'm actually calling to challenge you.
Okay, good. Good.
I want to know, actually, if I may be blunt, how you can talk this way about our born-again Christian president. And empress, or that is, first lady.
I must have had a hard night.
I'm born again Christians. I saw it on television.
Nelson, your sarcasm is killing me. You mean he calls himself a Christian? Didn't Jesus Christ tell you don't listen to what they say, watch what they do? Didn't he?
We're lucky to have a Republican in the White House, one who carries a Bible under his arm on the way to church on Sundays, brother.
Yes, you know.
Do you think we should just leave it at that?
Well, I imagine Satan carries around his Bible, too. He probably knows it very well, and doesn't just surprise me that this man would carry it.
Better than carry.
You're killing me, Nelson. Yes, well, you make
a
good point.
Do you think we should support the president during wartime? Express unity to the world?
Yeah, maybe he should use bisexual unity, or what was this strip club thing he went to, or is his wife that then his staff went to something, Chippendales. Maybe we
are
should export that. Not me, I never get sarcastic. Yeah, let's support Chippendales around the world, and what was the thing he was wearing? Whatever.
And actually, I must add myself that I've never been able to stand the sight of Laura Bush somehow. She has always struck me as the sheerly smuggest first wife of them all. I noticed this on the campaign trail. You could look at her and see that there was absolutely nothing in any corner of her being of a Christian worldview or any consciousness that her husband was
yes,
one of Satan's agents, which is what he is, in my opinion.
Well, that's blunt. Yeah, that's pretty. You're not mincing your words very well this morning. One of Satan's agents. Well, that's what I would agree with that. I think he is one of Satan's agents. I don't ever had any delusions about George Bush.
We should have all known at the second inauguration when we saw the entire family and seemingly half the people on the dais. Showing the sign of the devil's horns. Now, I didn't actually watch the inauguration because I don't own a TV on principle, as you know. But there's an article online, I believe it's at prisonplanet.com, that shows the numerous uses of this evil sign by an incredible diversity of public figures, even including one major comic book superhero, I forget which one, is Spider-Man or something. Now, is that all supposed to be in honor of the University of Texas and their Longhorns team? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Well, that's what some people told me they were really driving at all through the inauguration.
Huh. Well,
he did not want to consider the fact that they would be celebrating Satanism in the face of their constituency on such a high festive occasion.
Yes, well, it doesn't surprise me one bit. Now, what do you think about all these stories, by the way, about George Bush truly being a secret bisexual and you know, his wife being wild? Well, we know his wife's wild. She spoke what's in her heart. But what about George Bush?
Well, you know what? I see no evidence of that, but, excuse me, I think that there's a great deal about his behavior generally that is clearly way out of whack.
I mean,
if anybody acted like he does in private life, as he does in his official capacity, they would carry him away in white coats. I would think they'd give him the chair and nothing flat for his dangerous megalomania and, quite frankly, murdering. What can I say about it? It's just okay. Words fail me this time.
Well,
I don't think that if people say they have evidence of that, it would be more in character with the real president that we do have for it to be thus than it would have matched the myth which our well-meaning fundamentalist and Republican brethren would like to concoct and shove down our throats at the slightest provocation. Doctor, I'm getting too controversial. I'm just going to have to shut up here.
Well,
I don't want people to think ill of me. Thank you, Doctor.
Well, Nelson, you never know. They might already think ill of you, but they might think ill of me, too, so it's not necessarily a bad thing. But I don't know if you're still there or not, Nelson. He's not. I can tell you that much right now. But I'm going to make one comment about this, and that, you know, when we look at somebody like Bill Clinton, you know, he was just castigated beyond belief. Well, not beyond belief. He really took it on the chin. That's a better way to put it. He took it on the chin for what he did with Monica Lewinsky and who knows how many other women in his in his escapades through the highway patrol in Arkansas and all this. I mean, the guy was a real loser, a real pervert. But you know what? Some people, like when I was down in Chile, they called Monica Lewinsky and others oportunistas. In other words, these were women that took advantage of a weak man. And it wasn't just Bill seducing them. They took advantage when they knew they could have a profit in all this. And that may be true. And, you know, as bad as it is, you can sort of see how a man could fall like King David did. And I'm not trying to exalt Bill Clinton here in any way. I'm just trying to compare him now to the current president, which is George W. Bush. When we're talking about bestiality, whatever this milking the male horse means, and all this other stuff we just read about with Chuck Baldwin, what do you think is worse? The man who falls like David does 20 or 50 times or 1,000 times, or a man who goes out and likes to have sexual encounters with horses? I mean, we're talking about a serious degraded step downward, folks. It's not that George W. Bush is just a Christian who has a few foibles. I mean, to get to the level of bestiality or the stuff that they're doing, especially with his wives and staff members, we're talking about far lower than Bill Clinton goes. I mean, at least Bill Clinton, in all his perversion, as far as we know, was mostly heterosexual. And I'm not saying it's good, it's bad. But look, George Bush seems to be worse. Don't you agree, folks? I mean, that's just some food for thought here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Nelson, appreciate the call. We're going to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. an evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back into Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. Currently 70 degrees in the upstate, give or take a couple degrees, depending on where you are. And it's sunny skies. It's going to get up to a high of 86. Don't believe it. They said it was going to be 85 yesterday. It was 95. So plan on 95 again today. And as soon as it gets that hot, plan for the thunderstorms to come in. And this time, they're coming in with a vengeance, apparently. We have a weather statement from the National Weather Service saying that we can expect rates of 1 to 2 inches per hour, which is going to be common with the stronger thunderstorms. That's going to cause some local flooding, obviously, having that much rainfall. Also expect winds up to 60 miles per hour and hail as large as pennies. This is what they're predicting for the upstate of South Carolina today, so you need to be prepared for that as the day goes on and it gets warmer. We're going to have some real serious weather conditions developing. Well, we've just had some interesting discussion about George W. Bush in the first half hour. If you missed it, too bad. But we had some revelations about George Bush and Laura Bush and all the staff members, as well as the wayward children of the Bush family, discussed here on Christian Worldview. And we used the Bible, actually, to explain the actions of statesmen. And appreciate Nelson's phone call, too, and adding a little bit of sarcasm and disgust to the mix of things. I wanted to give a couple announcements a shot here before, because I didn't get a chance to do any of them the first half hour of the show. Here is an announcement from Christian Exodus. Do you long for a return to the constitutionally limited government originally given us by the Founding Fathers, but feel powerless to make it happen? Do you wish there were more people who felt the way you do? Well, ChristianExodus.org is coming to your aid. Our members are Christian constitutionalists just like you, and we're moving to South Carolina to help you elect godly men who will refuse to obey illegal federal court rulings such as Justice Judge Roy Moore did in Alabama. Please join with us and help move more Christian constitutionalists to South Carolina. Our website address is www.christianexodus.org, and they thank the Tyranny Response Network and especially the Christian Worldview Show for their excellent broadcasting, and we thank you for your support at Christian Exodus. Another announcement. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you have not do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome to talk politics. And that's this Thursday, by the way. It's just a couple nights from now. If you can attend, try to do so. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network, and thank you both groups for your excellent and continued support of the Tyranny Response Network and the Christian Worldview program. I also want to remind listeners this month that we're having a special drive to the Tyranny Response Network staff is having a special drive to raise money for increasing the amount of signal they can put out in different parts of the upstate and even as far as Dorchester County. Of course, this costs several thousand dollars. We're looking around $7,000 or $8,000. Not a whole lot to raise if all listeners would simply be able to contribute $10 or $20 or more, and that would really help us improve the signal quality and get the message out to other people here in South Carolina. Now, the special this month is that if a person donates $25 or more, he's going to get a personal signed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Contributing $100 or more is also going to get him, in addition to that book, the Warriors of Honor video about the life and legacy of Robert E. Lee and of Stonewall Jackson. So please go to the policyofliberty.net website and contribute online with your PayPal account or Visa or MasterCard, or go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and find our address at the bottom of the homepage, which is P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. That's the Tyranny Response Network's, and you can mail a paper check there. Make sure to include your name and address so we know where to send the book to. And thanks so much for your support of the Tyranny Response Network and our show, Christian Worldview. We have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome you to the show. Thanks for calling. Who am I speaking to? It's fine, Paul. I'm not sure we're getting you on the air here. Let me see if we can get you once again. Hang on a second, Paul. We have a technical difficulty we need to resolve here in the studio. All right, go ahead. We're not the only ones. Yeah, we frequently have technical difficulties here. For some reason, some of our equipment likes to work well when it's not really hot. And after it gets hot or something happens, the microphones stop working and so forth, and we have to make some adjustments. So, at any rate, welcome to the show, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Well, thanks for having us. I was just wondering if you were familiar with the, seeing how you're from the Carolina area, the Charleston Police Sergeant, I think Joyce Middleton is joined the ranks of those testy tax protesters. Huh. I was wondering if you're familiar with the article.
No, well, please do share it with us.
Yeah, she'd. I guess there's a retired or former IRS agent over here in Atlanta, and a woman named Sherry Jackson, and she does seminars. At least used to do seminars on the teacher the tax, you know, IRS tax codes and what exactly makes you liable, and what activity you may be involved in to make you liable, and evidently she studied her, and I think that Larkin Rose fellow on the 861.info website, and decided that her income wasn't taxable, and she's itching to get to court and help spread the truth.
Okay, yeah,
isn't that interesting for a police officer?
Yeah. Know? I didn't know she was you're saying a Sherry Peel. I thought Sherry Peel Jackson was an IRS agent previously.
That's right, she was. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Former IRS, and she's still currently a CPA.
Okay, but I'm confused. Who was the police officer from North Charleston?
No, the police officer from North Charleston was a woman named Joyce Middleton.
Oh, okay. So
she has attended, you know, she's done her due diligence, attended some of Sherry Jackson's seminars. I think her and she has seminars, and Larkin Rose's information, according to at least the article I read this morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I always find it interesting when the police interested in the truth.
Yeah. So what you're saying, what you're basically saying is you're bringing up there are more people who are now beginning to see and recognize that they don't need to file income tax returns based on Section 861 of the code, which is the 861.org website. Larkin Rose's argument. That is interesting to bring up. There's that other fellow Bannister out in California who was a former fraud division of the IRS. Now they've taken him to court. He stopped filing tax returns a number of years ago too. I think I have a story to read about him a little bit later on in the show if we get to it. You know about?
That's right. That's another former. I think there's three former IRS agents that have turned coat. If you're a status type person, John Turner, Sherry Jackson, and Joe Bannister, they were at one time IRS officials, revenue officers, or CIA agents, whatever the case is, and they learned that they weren't, you know, they weren't taught to enforce the tax codes correctly, and they had a moral dilemma. You know, they felt sure people need to pay taxes to run a government, but they didn't need to. You know, you need to follow the laws. If you can't tax something, don't tax it. And they've been traveling the country for quite a few years now, and it has gotten them in hot trouble and hot water. Like you said, I think this is second or third time they've dragged Mr. Bannister into court. So, but he knew that when he got to, according to him, he figured out that's what was going to happen. You know, the powers that be are going to get upset with him spreading the truth, so but he decided to do it anyhow. It's been a great personal hardship for him. He's a great American, you know.
Yeah, well, I actually saw the video with Joe Bannister, and I was very impressed by the man. Not only did he get a CPA and became an accountant, he decided later on to go into law enforcement, and not at all a kooky kind of person, a very straight. Lace kind of guy, looks very conservative in his own demeanor. I don't know, maybe he's really not. You know, look at George W. Bush. He wears a suit and tie, and look how he acts with horses.
Yeah.
But,
cheap and most clever.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I've met Joe a couple of times. I had lunch with him a few times, actually, and No, he's a, you know, he's somebody that understands right from wrong, and stealing people's money is wrong, lying to them is wrong. He didn't want to be part of it. He understood the paper money. He's got a very good website. I think it's freedomabovefortune.com, and his whole story is there. Very courageous person. All these people, very courageous. Whistleblowers in general. We've had some with the Georgia businesses. They've just lately in the newspapers, people have been speaking out about guards beating inmates or walking the other way when inmates would fight each other, and instigating inmates to discipline some other inmates. So, you know, whistleblowers in generally are not, even though they're all whistleblower statues, they are not welcome by the establishment, by the system, and they pay a heavy penalty.
Yes, well, that's an interesting point. You know, this is a huge issue for many people in the Christian community, the so-called religious right, and it's something we need to bring up here on Christian Worldview. We're not afraid of talking about the so-called tax protest movement or the tax truth movement. Some Christians have the mistaken conception that because Jesus says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and the things that are God, to God the things that are God's, that we have to pay whatever tax comes down the pike from the government. With the pipe drips it out, you've got to go ahead and pay that particular tax. This isn't necessarily the case whatsoever, especially for Americans. And the reason is our ultimate allegiance is to the Constitution as Christians, and political allegiance I'm talking about. Ultimate allegiance has to be to God and to the Church. I'm talking about in a political sense. We have our ultimate political allegiance to the Constitution in this nation, not to a bunch of rulers or thugs that have gone wayward and sideways. And if there's a constitutional reason, and clearly so, why the income tax should not be paid, or if we can discover in the IRS code why it shouldn't be paid, then why in the world would Christians want to support this kind of evil government if they can opt out and not pay the tax? So we're happy to talk about that sort of thing here on the Christian Worldview Show, unlike other radio stations in the area or elsewhere who just write off anybody like Joe Bannister or Sherry Peel Jackson as some kind of kook. We're happy to discuss it here, and I think you as Christians need to think a little bit, wake up a minute, and decide where that money's going and what you're supporting, and whether or not you even have a legal obligation to pay the thing. Even if you didn't have a legal obligation, you'd have a reason to question paying it. But if you can do so within the legal parameters of the law, even if you suffer at the hand of wayward rulers, then why do you have a problem with it, is the question we have this morning for you Christian listeners. So,
well, I think a lot of people are afraid, you know, if they don't do what they're told to do, they'll get in trouble, and perhaps they will, but sometimes you just have to stand up and do the right things. Really, all every time you need to stand up and do the right things. But remember, slavery has been, it wasn't one time legal, and now it is illegal. We have our 13th Amendment, and a tax on labor is slavery. And they didn't tax labor, the taxes on something else. And if you're a little bit curious, there's a lot more information today than there was 5 or 10 years ago. And it's not, you know, if a simple country boy like me can get, I wouldn't say I've completely figured it out, but if I get close to figuring it out, anybody can.
Well, we hear a lot of those good programming here on the Tyranny Response Network, too. People who are thinking folks, academics, specialists, CPAs, attorneys, who are talking about issues like taxation, helping us understand the truth, getting the information out. It's never been so widely available as it has during the last 10 years when we've had the Internet and things like that. So it's a great thing, isn't it? And some of us can understand what's really going on. You know, we've all been gullible in the past. We don't mean to put down Christians or anybody else who are gullible or have been deceived, I should say. But being continually gullible is a problem. We have to always stand up for what is true. We don't have an option to kind of let down our guard and let something pass off for a while. It's just not right. Those of us who are Christians especially have to stand up for the truth at all times. And if right now we can stand up and talk about George W. Bush's follies or Laura Bush's follies or the follies of tax on labor as slavery, then we need to go ahead and do that, just as you're doing this morning, Paul. And I do appreciate that very much, because conscription, that is the draft, another issue that's coming up nowadays, and the income tax are slavery.
You know, whether they you know, however they want to pretend it is, and it certainly is a form of slavery. If I was taught that if it's a just war, people, you know, people line up to fight. You don't need a draft. So, you know, people have to be careful when they, and I think the draft is coming. I think it's pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, they're running out of people. People don't want to re-enlist. A few people in high school don't want to, don't want to go and make your companies more money, you know. So, you got to understand what slavery is, and country's never been perfect, never going to be perfect, but no right or wrong. Be a little bit curious. I don't even have to do anything. At least knowing the truth goes a long ways. And even if, you know, even if you don't think that, the income tax is a slavery tax and it's not really on labor, but just think if it is, if we are telling the truth or the income tax is something that isn't what you've been taught to believe since grade school, what else have they been lying to you, about? Yeah. That's what really got me going. If this, you know, if these major issues are true, what small stuff they've been lying to us about and twisting the truth and using sophistry and deceit and half truth, all that is just an endless, you know, just endless pool, and you know, just.
It really is, Paul. Yeah, I appreciate those comments. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's maddening to see what's happened. Well, we appreciate the call this morning. We're coming up against a break here on Christian Worldview. We're going to jump to that break, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Great show today, talking about all sorts of nefarious things, including George Bush and his bestiality campaign that's become public now, as well as his wife and staff members liking to visit male strip joints and other weird things that they're into, revealing the heart of these people entirely. We're talking about it here. Maybe the Republican Party's not, and perhaps those are not who who are still true believers that George W. Bush was the right choice in 2004. I wonder what my former radio show co-host Tony Beam is saying about this morning. How long is he going to be a true believer? Someone should call up that show and ask him, how long are you going to be a true believer? You told Dr. Coben you would quit and turn over to be a Constitution Party candidate or a Constitution Party supporter as soon as the filibuster thing didn't go through, and it hasn't. They haven't got rid of the filibuster, and now you have the true colors of this man showing. I told him and others it was a sin to vote for George W. Bush, and they didn't like it when I told them that back in October or September. I'm glad to be shown right. Of course, the Tyranny Response Unit is frequently right. That's why I'm here, sitting behind this microphone, trying to help you understand the Christian worldview. I'm being a little bit facetious, obviously, when I'm talking here, but everybody has failures and can fail and make mistakes, including me. I realize that. But I was right about George W. Bush, and I appreciate all those comments early on in the show. Also appreciate the recent calls. We've been talking with Paul about some of these great issues that pertain to the Christian faith this morning. Hope to hear from some of you before the show ends. Well, I had also an email that came in off a libertarian professor's list that was just discussing this this article on the Associated Press line from Washington. Bursting into tears, it says, 8th grader Anna Rugg Cash Yap of California became the U.S. spelling champ Thursday. Tied for second place were 11-year-old Samir Patel, who is homeschooled in Colleyville, Texas, and Alaya Derry, 13, a Pleasanton, California student. Indian kids have won first place in five of the last 7 years. Isn't that interesting that Indian kids have gotten first place? And a homeschooler is second place, 11-year-old. The top 12 students in the USA Math Olympiad 2003 were Boris Alex Yev, Jay Bay, Daniel Kane, Anders Kasserog, who was also homeschooled, Mark Lipson, Tian Kai Liu, Po Ru Lo, Po Ling Lo, Aaron Pixton, Kwaf Fung Tang, Tony Zhang, Yang Zhang. Isn't it interesting, and they're pointing out in the list that there seems to be a trend that not only is it Indians, but other folks from Asia are just dominating the whole academic world, as it seems, from these contests. It's interesting statistically how these come up. And Latinos and blacks and for the most part whites are just hardly even existing in the ranks. Interesting statistic here, and I appreciate people bringing that up. Well, we have another call on the line. Active phone lines today. Why not, after George Bush has revealed his fetish for horses? So, at any rate, welcome to Christian Worldview. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, good morning. This is Chuck.
Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm enjoying your show. Interesting call from Paul. I sent you an email on that, but what I wanted to discuss firsthand is economics. There was an interesting article last week, and I was out of town, so I missed your show. I apologize if this is a repetition, but it was about trade deficits. Did you happen to read that one?
I did.
Walter Williams?
Yeah, we read it completely and in its entirety on here on Christian Worldview. I believe it was yesterday's show. If it wasn't yesterday's show, it was Friday's show. We read it in its entirety and commented on the bogusness of trade deficits and how people get all worried about trade deficits when you really shouldn't. It's like going to your, you know, you have a trade deficit with your grocer, but it's not a problem. If the grocer were living in Mexico and you had a trade deficit with him, you wouldn't worry about it. That's just that's just life. You don't expect everyone to buy back from you everything you spend on them. It's a great point, and political actors try to make a big deal about a trade deficit when it's really not a big deal in an economic sense.
Well, that's right, and I think it's an excuse to get for a lot of policies that they'd like to implement, such as protectionist policies that really are not helpful to the economy as a whole. They're helpful to certain special interests.
Yes, I agree entirely, and that's it's just an ignorance. It's an appalling ignorance of economics that leads to many Christians and others who love freedom to support bogus policies because they hear something that sounds bad, like trade deficit, or we're a debtor nation, and somehow all of a sudden we get up in arms and think, oh no, you know, we're in trouble. It's not. It's just the way it's been described. It's not a problem at all. You're not a debtor person because you spend more at the grocery store than the grocer spends on buying goods from you. It's just absurd. And yet that's what these liberals and leftist types are wanting us to believe. Even the Republicans, I'm not going to let them off the hook. I guess they're still liberals and leftists, aren't they? At least with their horse preferences.
That's right, and it's typical of the strategy that's used is to create a problem and then blame the people for it and say, you need more government to fix this problem. When in fact, the biggest part of it, as Williams brought out, is that there's deficit spending and that foreign governments do buy our bonds, and that's a lot of what the apparent trade deficit comes from. Yes, we spend money there and they save the money. Now, eventually they'll spend it.
Yeah, but they can't spend dollars in China or whatever it is. They have to do something else with the money, and it may just be buying treasury bonds. That's the whole point. They don't trade dollars on the current, and you know, they may use some of it, hold some in reserves, as if our government purchases go. But if you're a business person getting dollars, you got to either go through an exchange rate or hold dollars or buy something in dollars, and quite often it's those treasury bonds, and that's what Walter is pointing out.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent article.
Oh, it is. And most of the time, what Walter writes is excellent. When you get the Times Examiner, the first page you should turn to, in my opinion, is page 10, because that's where the Tyranny Response Unit has written his column. But after that, shortly after, or maybe at the same time, turn to page 4, where you have Thomas Sowell, you have Ben Graydon, and you have Walter Williams on there, sometimes other great columnists on that page as well. So by all means, get a copy of the Times Examiner and read those columns every week. You'll learn something.
Yes, they're very good. Well, I'm gonna run, and please, if you get a chance, check the email. I forwarded you some excellent comments from Pete Henderson that just came out in the last day or two, and I think he summarizes very, very well the constitutional problem with the income tax better than any short piece I've seen. And I'd like to hear what you think of it.
I'll be happy to do that. I'll go, and in fact, you may have to forward it to me again if you get a chance. But I think I have it in my box. My box is full this morning, but I did see that, and I do want to get to it. We've just been hung up here on George Bush's thing and the income tax a little bit now. We'll try to get to that as soon as we get back from the break. Thanks for calling, Chuck. Appreciate the comments this morning.
Yes. Good day. Bye bye.
Goodbye. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you did. We're making your morning better. We're making you think a little bit differently and deeper than you usually do, perhaps. Hopefully now that you've been listening for a few months, it's more the usual course for you to think deeper than other folks, and we're glad for that. But at any rate, this has been quite a show today to get something wrapped around in your mind. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning.
Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in the upstate of South Carolina, we have about 73 degrees, give or take a degree, depending on where you're at. Mostly cloudy skies now. Just a little while ago, it was sunny, and now it's mostly cloudy. The Weather Service says it's going to get up to 86 degrees today. I wouldn't believe it necessarily. Yesterday they said it would be 85, and it was 95 in my car when I was driving around. So these guys are about 10 degrees off consistently. Plan on another hot day. And as it gets really hot in the afternoon, then the real action begins, folks, today, as we're going to have very heavy thunderstorm activities today. In fact, the Weather Service is predicting that hail as large as pennies and wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour are possible in the most severe sections of these thunderstorms, especially closer to the mountains, apparently. And the rainfall is going to fall at a rate of 1 to 2 inches per hour. That will be common, they say, within the stronger thunderstorms. So obviously we're going to have some flooding issues, some other things going on today. Beware of that as you're making your way out to work. That's going to be a wild day for weather. First, baking hot, probably, and then we're going to go on to some thunderstorm problems. Well, anyway, I appreciate all the earlier calls and so forth from folks. Want to remind you and we've had 2 great topics today. Basically, it's the foibles, the sexual follies and so forth of Laura and George Bush and all their staff and kids and so forth. And then talking about the legality of the income tax this morning. So it's been a great show to talk about just these couple of issues. Before we go on and get back to some of these things, want to mention to you that tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, we have both addresses now, is your website for the Tyranny Response Network. You can go there and find a calendar of meetings that are going on, as well as different and events, or a listing of the different media that we support here on the show. For example, if you go to the homepage and then click at the on the tab that says events, you will go down and find about the Institute on the Constitution, which went on last night, will go on next Monday. The Greenville County Libertarian Party, which is going to be meeting at Prime Sirloin this week at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, as well as the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting, which was not going to have a meeting until towards the end of July, besides their July 9th picnic. And then the Greenville Taxpayers Meeting and the League of the South Meeting. Those are the fourth and third Thursdays of the month. All the details of those things, along with the Patriot Network in Asheville, Fountain Inn, and Greenville, are listed there on the homepage. It's a great place to go if you hear about some of these things on the show here and you forget, you don't have a pencil with you and you're driving along. Just remember tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, and you'll be able to go to the webpage and locate the details about this, phone number, address, times, and so forth. I want to give a quick plug for the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner has the great columnist that we mentioned right before the break, as well as many others. It's your local voice for true conservative or pro-life libertarian politics and public policy talk. Some of the columns are pretty deep, some of them are pretty light. If you read my column, you know that you have to have two cups of coffee before you do so, because it's going to make you think a little bit deeper. This week we're talking about public policy theology in historical context. And the last couple of weeks you've dealt with self-defense, the divine ordination of state criminals, and George Bush apparently is up in the ranks of the most nefarious now, at least in his own sexual preferences and so forth, which we've heard earlier. Well, those kinds of things are in my column. You read Walter Williams, as Chuck just mentioned in the call, you're going to get some heavy-duty economics a lot. And great stuff from him, as well as Thomas Sowell. Ben Graydon writing well on marriage issues, on homeschooling issues, parental authority issues. There are so many folks writing in on things that are just of outstanding quality. We hope you get the Times Examiner. Stephen Yates writing about the free trade farce that's going on. Excellent stuff that's in the Times Examiner. If you want to get a copy, call 864-268-0576. It's 864-268-0576. It's only $25 a year to subscribe. That's cheap. And $27 if you're out of state. And that Christian Exodus folks should take note of that and get on the subscription list for the Times Examiner. 864-268-0576. They're also looking to get advertising. By all means, call and place an ad there. You might want to check with David directly. Call David directly today. You can reach him at 864-244-6464. Ask specifically for David and how you might be able to get an ad in the Times Examiner and help support that great paper. One other quick announcement. The First Freedom is another politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. Nelson Waller offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/First Freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Okay, enough of announcements now. Took a lot of time there, but I had to get some announcements in today, folks, and we've been talking so much on the show. Oh, the producer's telling me we're going to have a break. I mean, I did the whole time with just talking about the Tyranny Response Network and the so forth, the web page and these announcements. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break so we have the whole next segment to talk just about some of these other issues, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just got an email from Chuck. "Hi, John. To add what Paul mentioned," that way he's our second caller of the day, "here is a very good summary of what is wrong with the income taxes administered by the IRS today. Enjoying your show, Chuck." And he's forwarded from a guy named Pete Hendrickson, who wrote the book Cracking the Code, Why Someone Becomes a Cracking the Code Warrior. Well, she knows how to read. Reads the Constitution, reads Black's Law Dictionary, Bovier's Law Dictionary, as well as The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith. And then notes what the Supreme Court has said in different cases about the Income Tax Act not actually producing anything, any new powers to tax than were already there before. And then, reading the Cracking the Code, she finds this particular key to the puzzle. On the pages of Cracking the Code, she sees, according to Pete Hendrickson, for the first time, the fine print on how the income tax law, which the IRS and the multi-billion dollar tax compliance industry somehow never got around to sharing with the average American. She learns the extremely narrow legal meanings of the terms income, wages, employee, trade or business, and others, which are fundamentally different in the law from the common words that most people take them to be. She recognizes that by virtue of those specialized meanings, the tax actually only applies to people engaged in certain kinds of voluntary, out-of-the-ordinary activities, and thus is completely constitutional. It is also completely different from what Americans are led to believe by letting themselves to be shown only carefully selected little snippets of the law with their critical fine print left out. Furthermore, she learns exactly how she, like most other Americans, is made to appear to be engaged in those voluntary, out-of-the-ordinary activities to which the tax does apply, even when she is not, and who and what can be done about it. He respects the law. He recognizes to let his earnings continue to be characterized as income when they are not is to undermine one of the basic principles of the rule of law, that the law must say what it means and mean what it says. He understands that when the government is allowed to treat the words of any law as meaning what they do not, the law quickly becomes a tool of the self-serving corruption and eventually a tool of oppression. Today's featured Cracking the Code warrior is Kenny Holmes. And I'm not going to go ahead and read all about this stuff. There's just too much to read here. But the point is Pete Hendrickson goes through the Internal Revenue Code glossary and basically shows you how the words that are commonly the common words that were mentioned do not have an expansive meaning, rather more restrictive meaning. The words like income or employee or things like that, and that actually you don't have a requirement to file income tax returns unless you've received privileged incomes. In other words, government gives you a privilege. You have to pay for that privilege by paying a tax back to it on the income or the earnings you receive from that privilege, whether it's a monopoly grant or a patent or a license or you're an employee of the federal government, things like that. It's a very fascinating book, and I appreciate Chuck sending in the email. Those of you who haven't read Cracking the Code by Pete Hendrickson really should do so. No matter what you do with the information, you should become informed about this. It's quite a phenomenal book and an excellent piece of work. One of the best pieces of work I've seen on the income tax in many years. We also have Larkin Rose looking at Dodge, a related email. This came from Arnold Cohn, and he's a group leader up in Knoxville, Tennessee, I think, of the Carolina Patriots, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he minds me mentioning his name on the air here, as many of the group leaders do not. He says, how many he's reading, I guess it's just a forward from Larkin Rose. How many exceptions does it take to become a rule? Do we have a basically good system of government in which bad people occasionally do the wrong thing? I always thought, as I was trained to think, that America is a great country, but with some flaws, while other countries like China, the USSR, etc., are fundamentally bad and corrupt systems. Tiananmen Square was, we were taught, symbolic of the nature of the Chinese communist government. Remember the image of the guy standing in front of the tank. But the incident in Waco, Texas, was only a fluke in this country, right? Oh, and the incident in Ruby Ridge. Oh, and that little armed thug routine with Elian Gonzalez. Everyone remember the picture of our loving, caring federal thug aiming a machine gun at the screaming kid? How many exceptions must there be to our great system before we realize that our system is not great? It is a giant, corrupt, violent, unthinking, unprincipled, lawless farce. Sorry, but our great system exists in people's imaginations and nowhere else. And as much as I've tried to spread the truth about the income tax, this is Larkin Rose speaking, who also holds to the same position that Hendrickson does, or something similar. I've also tried to show the public, he continues, by example, that our system, top to bottom, is an absolute crock. I could rant on and probably will about how every judge, every IRS agent, and the prosecutors on my case have openly and intentionally ignored the law at every step and engaged in what can only be described as lawless thuggery. But right now, I point you to the story on which they do what they do to one of their own. If you go to www.900.net/Bannister, for the moment, set aside what you think pro or con about Mr. Bannister's legal conclusions, his tactical decisions, and just observe the difference of attitude between Mr. Bannister and the people trying to crush him. There is only one Fed in this case, in his case, that has had the principles and courage to stand up for the law, and that's Mr. Bannister himself, which is why he is unfettered, and the rest do the bidding of the power machine. So it is just another exception to our otherwise wonderful system? Yeah, our system is great. It goes by the book, obeys the law, is fair and just, except for the 99% of the cases where something goes wrong. And as the joke goes, the 99% of corrupt politicians, judges, and federal agents, they give the rest a bad name. And how about the 1%, like Joe Bannister, Sherry Jackson, and John Turner? Well, they become targets for harassment by the other 99%. That is our system. Which is worse, to live under a regime that doesn't even pretend there are any limits on what it can do and doesn't pretend to care about the rights of individuals, or two, to live under a regime that gives lip service to individual rights, limited government, but in practice does whatever it wants? Boy, what a great comment here. Appreciate that very much, coming from Larkin Rose this morning. He's got a great point, and he points out, echoing Paul's comments on when he called about the few who have escaped, that 1% or less than 1% that have escaped and tell the truth about the feds, these guys, and not just the lie that's been fed to the Christian right and others about the Republican Party. Appreciate that email and that comment. Thanks so much, Arnold, for sharing it with us. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Come up for a time for a break before we get to our last segment, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Been an exciting show today. Two major themes, one about the foibles and follies of Bush and his family and his close associates, the other being the income tax, which is an interesting discussion at all times, as well as corruption in the state in general. Appreciate everyone's participation on the show this morning. It's been an exciting time. Try to tie up a few loose ends here as we come towards the last segment of the show. By all means, give us a call if you would like to discuss any of the things that were mentioned on the air today. Be happy to break away from the task ahead of me to do so. Well, we also want to mention to you before we lose the opportunity, as the show is winding down, that we're trying to expand. The Tyranny Response Network folks are trying to expand the signal in the upstate of South Carolina and even down towards Charleston in Dorchester County. There's some people who have... are willing to help us with this, and what we need at this particular point, the Tyranny Response Network is seeking several thousand dollars just to buy some transmission equipment. You could help by doing this, help us greatly just by making a small contribution. Believe me, a lot of $20 bills or $50 bills adds up real fast to meet a goal like this, and it's a very worthy cause. Where else do you hear radio like this, talk radio like this program? Well, it's not very common that you can hear it, and we're glad to be able to bring it to you, and we'd like to have other people be able to hear the show as well. In order to give a contribution to the Tyranny Response Network, you can go to thetyrannyresponse.com, where we have all our announcements, related media, and so forth. At the homepage towards the bottom, you scroll down, again, tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. You'll find the P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. You can go ahead and send a check there. When you do, make sure you include your name and address, because any contribution over $25 this month will any person who gives that much will receive a free signed copy of personally signed by me, copy of my latest book, Bible and Government: Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. In addition to that, those who give more than $100 or $100 or more will also receive the video, the DVD, Warriors of Honor, about the heritage and legacy of General Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. Well worth getting a great piece for family entertainment. So at any rate, we encourage you to do that. If you want to use an online system for making a contribution, go to the policyofliberty.net website, scroll down to the homepage, and you'll see some buttons there to click on PayPal, and you can use a Visa or MasterCard or whatever other online service you have to make a contribution to the Tyranny Response Network. We really do need your support right now, and we know that for those of you who are devoted and love the show, well, this is a way you can support us. Even a small amount all adds up. Even just imagine, do you think, well, the $10 isn't worth it? It is worth it. By all means, go ahead and send it off, because it all adds up and we can use it. Don't think the other guy is going to do it. If everybody thinks that, we don't get anything accomplished. So we do appreciate your support at this and during this month, especially as we're expanding the Tyranny Response Network, is trying to expand the signal. And the signal quality should be improving in Greenville this weekend. That's what we've heard. The equipment has arrived, so stay tuned for that. For those of you who've been patiently waiting for these few weeks, we've had a temporary outage. Well, let's go back to a couple of loose ends here. Bush picks a business-friendly SEC chairman. President Bush, hearing complaints about Mr. Donaldson's SEC record from across the business spectrum, responded on Thursday by nominating Representative Christopher Cox, a conservative Republican from California, as a successor whose loyalties seem clear. Mr. Cox, a devoted student of Ayn Rand, the high priestess of unfettered capitalism, has a long record in the House of promoting the agenda of business interests that are cornerstone of the Republican Party's political and financial support. Well, that's interesting if that's truly the case. We'll see just how business-friendly people are. Alan Greenspan also supported the gold standard at one time and used to be truly libertarian in his perspective of monetary policy, and that all changed after he got into the bacteria pool. We'll see if this fellow Donaldson is able to do this, Christopher Cox is able to do the same thing. That's just an interesting loose end for us. I want to talk about the Libertarian Party condemning the Supreme Court's decision against the use of medical marijuana. In a 6-3 ruling in the United States Supreme Court, the federal government will continue to arrest and prosecute sick and terminally ill Americans who use marijuana for medical purposes. The decision supersedes state laws and the votes of citizens that allow the medical use of marijuana. And yes, I agree with the Libertarian Party condemning this. It's absolutely stupid. If people want to use a drug that helps them, then let them use it. We're talking about terminally ill people. Well, why in the world would you want to prosecute them? It's just absolutely pathetic and absurd. At any rate, so typical for what we see from the Supreme Court today. Then we have hospitals being crippled by the costs of treating migrants, and that could be just the start of an immigrant-related health crisis. Specifically down in the Tucson area, apparently. The Tucson Medical Center losses are estimated at $4 million every year from treating illegals. That's because they're forced to treat them in emergency rooms, and this is a real problem with the welfare state. If we just repealed that law or legislation, it would resolve this problem quickly and stop putting hospitals out of business. Lawmakers have made a big deal out of this, and have really made a big blunder when we see these kinds of overruns go on in emergency rooms. Appreciate the research staff sending that story up to us about Tucson and what's happening there. I want to read one more piece out of that article, actually. The state health department says that Arizona had 295 reported cases of active TB in 2003, a jump from the previous year. Why the increase? More of the disease was found among kids under 5 years old and prisoners. The latter was mostly immigration and customs enforcement detainees, in other words, illegals. 68% of Arizona's foreign-born TB cases are from Mexico, says state health. Will TB return to the United States in a big way? Well, this is interesting because it brings up a question about national defense. And if we want to protect ourselves from predators, including microorganisms, then we have to look at this illegal thing in a different light if they're actually bringing diseases in with them. We need to do something to stop that from occurring. Anyway, you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you did this morning. We've got more great stuff coming up for you tomorrow. Hope you'll be able to join us then. Until then, please do visit tyrannyresponse.com. Please do join the Libertarian Party at 6:30 on Thursday night at Prime Sirloin and see if you can make a difference in your world. And glad you've listened this morning. Hope we've helped you think a little bit better. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.